Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Today is Monday, May 26, 2025. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others on page 99, the third paragraph, beginning with, "Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover." And we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with, "When the family came back too soon." Today's readers are Christina L., the 12 Steps, Charlotte W., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Marjo in the text, Ashley F. on page 164, and Tamara C. as our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour moderator is Kathy C. The share ID for Monday, May 25th, 2025, is 22,464. That's 22,464. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Christina L. to read.
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day. The 12 steps. Christina L. in Florida recovered. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. Pass.
Thank you, Christina. I will now ask Charlotte W. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Charlotte W., recovering in DeSoto, Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has the one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group I'd never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, and television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Sharla. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others on page 99, the third paragraph, beginning with, "Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover," and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with, "When the family came back too soon." I will now ask Marjo to begin reading.
Good morning, all. Marjo from Massachusetts, recovered and grateful. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We have seen others slip when the family comes back too soon. So again, good morning, all. So I'm going to keep this in the context of what's happening here in the time that it's written, in the point being that we have to develop a higher power to stay sober, to stay abstinent, whatever your personal word is that you use. Sometimes I interchange them, because when I was eating, I certainly wasn't a sober I was an active eater, but I certainly wasn't a sober thinking person or even doing, because it would slow me down and keep me sitting in chairs and taking naps that I really didn't need. I was very young. I was only in my 30s, but I had been overeating for a lot of years in my life. But just to get this back to what the point is, for me, or at least my interpretation of this, is that this is what we have to do. We have to recognize that we have this obsession, that certain twist of the mind that makes us obsessive and compulsive, and then we have the physical allergy as well as the alcoholic. So to know that I can follow a food plan, that's great. I did many, many, many diets over the years. And my family didn't like it when I first went to meetings, because I was changing. I was not home all the time, like I had been most of the time before. I was out at least 3 nights a week. And sometimes when I first started, I was able to go to daytime meetings, and then later I worked and I was gone. And, you know, I heard a lot of grumblings about, is this program, what is she doing? The program seemed to be more important than her family. And when the changes finally happened that they recognized, the change had to come from them too, recognizing that this was important stuff, that I had to take care of myself in this way to get to my meetings to do service. And it meant I was going to be gone a little more than they liked. But they generally, they got used to it, and I became a different person because of this program. So my family didn't leave, but there were plenty of bumps in the road because I was practicing this program. And what happened to me was, you know, I practiced the steps in all of my affairs. And again, I wasn't perfect, but I certainly was a different person and far less self-centered than I had been when I was eating all the time. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you for getting us started, Marge. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. To get on the share list, please give me your name and first initials. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Katie G. from Boston.
Okay, so... Wow. Okay, so Lisa B, Katie G. All right, that's all I got.
Tony B.
Tony B.
Emily M.
I missed that one.
Roy C.
Emily M.
So I've got, it sounds like, is it Lloyd? And then and a woman right behind that, is it Lloyd?
Roy.
Sorry, Roy. And then who is the woman right with Roy?
Emily M.
Emily M, okay. So here's who I have so far. Lisa B, Katie G, Tony B, Roy C, Emily M. Who else would like to share this morning?
Mary Jo P.
Is that Mary Jo?
Yes.
Mary Jo P, as in
yes.
Paul?
Yes, thank you.
Anybody else? All right, we're going to go with
Sandy.
Oh, go ahead, Sandy.
Sandy S.
All right, Sandy, gotcha. All right. So, after, let's see, Lisa B., you are up first, followed by Katie G. Go ahead, Lisa. And please remember to include where you're calling from. Lisa B., hit star one to unmute. Lisa, we can't hear you. Katie G., are you?
I'm here now, Rick. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now, yes.
I'm so sorry I got kicked out. I apologize. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And thank you, Rick and Marge, for your beautiful lead. I wanted to share on it's dependent upon his relationship with God. And, you know, I wrote down here, we can recover. I mean, isn't that a miracle? I can recover. I can do this happily. So my first line of defense is my higher power, whom I choose to call God. My first level of devotion is to God. Human power couldn't do it for me. It's God's power. And every morning I come to believe in this power. And then every day I make that decision to turn my will and my life over to this care of God. Life can be easy and beautiful when I turn to my relationship with God first, asking for the right. And I'm finding that recovery equals a relationship with a higher power. That's the solution. Everything requires the footwork of the 12 steps, but I can't rely on the footwork it all comes from God. And I don't want like meetings and sponsors and even to worship this book or the 12 steps. It's really about my real source is God, but the 12 steps get me there. Also, I'm finding that my recovery depends on my willingness to take guidance from a higher power. And I have to trust God, clean house, and help others. And every day this saves my life. And I'm also finding one day at a time, one moment at a time, that I don't have to show up perfectly, but I need to show up and I have to be intentional about showing up for my relationship with God. It's all about the relationship that I have with my Creator. So that's what I wanted to share. And thank you, everyone, for your service. My name is Lisa, L-E-S-A. I pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Katie G., you are up next, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Katie.
Hey, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. You know, I'm a really codependent person. I really like people. I like sponsors. I like program calls. I like this book. I like tangible. And although I'm not going to disregard any of that, because I do believe that God works through those things, as soon as those things fail me, I'm in total jeopardy, right? And I've really been talking with God recently, like, God, show me, give me an olive branch, like, show me how I can connect more deeply with you, because I can't have my recovery dependent upon people, you know. And this really also, I find that in my step 10s, it's because I'm thinking that I need this situation to change in order to be okay. Right, I need my older daughter not to be hitting my younger daughter in order to stay abstinent. I need, before I was married, I need a boyfriend not to break up with me in order to be abstinent. All of these external circumstances, all of these people, these places, these things, I need my body to be thin in order to be abstinent. Just crazy alkalogic thinking. And although human beings are wonderful and they have an amazing part in my life, I have got to remember that this is about my relationship with God. And I think, you know, I come back to this over and over again. Most recently, like I said, with my situations with my family, whether it be my husband or my children, I do step 10s, and it always, like, inevitably, it always comes back to, Katie, are you going to accept God as everything? Are you going to say that God is everything? Because if God is everything, then this situation is doing exactly what it is supposed to be doing in this moment. You know, and as the previous speaker said, my relationship with God is really about suiting up, showing up, and accepting my role in this life, right? Like my role as a wife, my role as a mom, my role as a steward of my attention, or God's attention, God's time, and God's resources. And it's, you know, how can I fit myself to be of maximum service? I have to remember, it's not how can I figure out that I'm going to be of maximum service to this person so that they love me, right? It's how does God want me to serve the world today? How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done, not my will. So, God, please help me use these steps as a treasure map to increase my relationship with you and decrease me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie, from Boston. Tony B., you are up next, followed by Roy C. Go ahead, Tony.
Thanks, Rick. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. This is great. And I was thinking about Bill's experience with his first love, you know, and how he went into that deep, deep depression when she died, his first high school sweetheart. And I had a very similar experience. he didn't die, but he broke up with me, and it was the end of the world. And I did go into a really deep depression. And that dependence on people, like just needing that person there and feeling like life's falling apart if they're not, have been a big part of my realization about myself, you know, through the years, that dependence on people and of my recovery. And it doesn't, you know, it's still the case that I can put somebody very central and think this is vital. You know, this is vital for me that I have this person in my life, that I speak with this person. And I've got a new sponsor just now. She's helping me with something around that. And it's difficult. And instead of going to that person today, I got on my knees and went to God. And just, but it's been very sad. You know, it's so interesting how strong it is. But my recovery isn't dependent on people. It's dependent on my relationship with God, and I can trust him. And although I might have very strong feelings, for whatever reason, my attachment has been such, you know, since childhood, that becomes very strong on people, you know, God knows that. God knows that. And I can go to him with it and say, you know, I can cry. I can, you know, it's all right. It's all right. He knows me. And I'm grateful for the experiences I've had because they can help me to help others. And I'm grateful for my sponsor, who seems to know me so well, you know, and seems to get me so well. So, oh, thank God for this fellowship. Thank God for all of you, dear family. And I'll pass with that. Thank you, Rick.
Well, thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. Roy C., you're up next, followed by Emily M. Go ahead, Roy.
This is Roy C. from South Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I thank God that I'm abstinent this morning. My family is important to me, and it's always been important, and I'm blessed to have them around. I never wanted to be alone and lonely. And the family provided that. And for a long time, I was a compulsive overeater and submitted to that compulsive behavior to keep the family around and to not be alone. And I found a higher power found the fellowship of the program, which allowed me not to be alone. And that's an important thing. And it's the most important thing. The higher power is there. And I'll never be lonely with a higher power around me and supportive and keeping me in the program. And that's very, very important. And the fellowship is important. I'm really glad that everybody's here this morning. And it was lovely to wake up by myself, but knowing that I was not alone. The higher power was here, and that I could tune into this program and listen to my friends out in the community. So that's the most important thing. It doesn't have to be that way. That there's nobody around except for food. Without a fellowship and without a higher power, you're left with inanimate things that you have control over. And you don't have control over your family, but you can reach out to a higher power and stay abstinent. And that's an important thing, and I'm glad to have it. And I'm glad that everybody's here this morning. I hope everybody has a wonderful Memorial Day, and thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Roy C. from South Jersey. Emily M., you are up next, followed by Mary Jo P. Go ahead, Emily.
Hi, good morning. This is Emily M. from Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive overeater. By God's grace, and have to thank someone from this podcast or from this meeting. It's been a long time since I first called in, even though that was only back in like February or March. I appreciate this chapter. I am beginning to sponsor over the last month, But I think specifically today, what I was hearing was about not rushing to repair relationships or try to feel like you're having control over repairing the relationships. Like, that just has to come in time. And I'm really working on, like, trusting that. Because I feel myself getting sad for certain relationships in my life that aren't the way I wish they could be. I have a certain aunt who we just haven't really talked the entire time I've been in program. And it makes me sad sometimes, but I know that this program will make it so I can show up for her and for her family in a different way. So I just have to trust that, like, God is doing the work. And if I'm following these principles in all my affairs, that, like, I am just going to show up as, like, a better version of myself for her in the future. So yeah, that's kind of just what I heard this morning. I felt myself getting sad about it yesterday and just had to acknowledge the feeling and just say, okay, well, I can't change that, but I can certainly pray for it. Certainly pray for it and see what God can do. Because forcing things just never works. And maybe I'm not ready. Maybe he knows I'm not ready. Trusting God, cleaning house, continuing to do the work in front of me and not forcing relationships, but still just having that love and intention of being able to show up when I can. So thank you for that today. I will pass.
Well, thank you, Emily M. from Pennsylvania. Mary Jo P., you are up next, followed by Sandy S. Go ahead, Mary Jo.
Good morning. This is Mary Jo P. from Chicagoland. Thank you to everybody for their service and their comments. I am a compulsive overeater. I too am codependent. That's exactly where I went with this. And I like the reminder that I have to go to God. You know, today I am restless, irritable, and discontent. I have a little bit over 2 weeks of abstinence. And I get into that thinking that, you know, if you had what I'm dealing with these people in these situations, you would eat too. But I really felt like this morning my higher power led me to call in, which I don't usually call in. And I just love the reminder to be dependent. You know, my recovery is dependent on my relationship with God. The big book is where it's at for me. You know, our higher power gave us this big book. It teaches me. It reminds me. It gives me all of you people to connect with that I you know, at my time here at 6:30 in the morning in Chicago, I can make a call when I am feeling the way I was feeling today. So these reminders to increase my spiritual life. And ask my higher power to take away the fear and resentment and anger toward these people and situations that I have. And then, again, the big book reminder of acceptance. Because all of this, you know, dependent upon my relationship with God, my higher power has given me this book to help me see what I need to do to stay abstinent today. That is what I'm trying to do today, is to stay abstinent despite what's going on around me. And so I'm just so grateful for the program. And gratitude is the number one thing that will change the way I think. So I'm grateful for my higher power. I'm grateful for this group. I'm grateful that our higher power gave us this program to teach us how to get out of how we may feel when we are feeling negative. And the truth is, I have this stuff every day, you know. So anyways, again, I just want to stay abstinent. I'm grateful to all of you, and I wish you all a wonderful day. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Mary Jo P. from Chicago. All right, Sandy S., you are up next, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi, this is Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina. Led by my higher power, whatever that is, to call into the line. I really had a radical thing happen 95 days ago or more, which I shared on the line, definitely from a higher power. My husband died 2 years ago, and I met another soulmate, and it has really rocked my world. The goodness of it. I mean, that's to depend on God. In terms of dealing with something beyond my wildest dreams, having this love for another human being where I actually feel it really being returned a second time, actually it's the third time. The first time is when I had my spiritual experience that led to abstinence, where I experienced love for the first time in my life, the experience of love, not the word, it was light. And then with my husband, I knew it was a cosmic relationship, and I really didn't think of it. And again, I'm 77, and it's happened for a third time. And I just have to keep opening up to this whole new world that is open to me. And the message from God, which I really don't like, but this is my message, is that everything is on the table, everything. Even the new person, his name is Louis. I just ask God in every moment just to show me what is the next right thing. Because one thing I am grateful for, I have total willingness to do whatever God wants me to do, whatever God is, let me just say this. So the thing today was just to call into the line. And the other thing is it's two things that have come to me. One is allowing everything. And the other thing is being willing to let go of control. And for me, abstinence and God are synonymous. And they are the most important thing in my life without exception. Though the codependency is strong in every moment, but God is stronger. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Sandy S. from North Carolina. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 99, the third paragraph, beginning with, "Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover." And we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with, "When the family came back too soon." And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. But to get on the share list, please give me your name and first initial. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
Nadia
P.
I had a hard time with that one. Was there a Nadia?
Yes.
Nadia.
Christine G.
Christine.
Joanne B.
Sarah T.
Joanne B. And who was right there with Joanne B?
Sarah T.
Sarah T. And Nadia, what was, let's see, I've got Nadia. I didn't get your first initial. Christine G., Joanne B., Sarah T. Did I miss anybody in that first grouping of names here? Okay, who else would like to share?
Dorita P.
Dorita?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dorita P.
Yeah.
Who else? All right, we're going to go with this group, and then we'll see where we are with time. All right, so Nadia, you are up first, followed by Christine G. And if you please remember to give your name and first initial and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Nadia.
Good morning. Nadia D. here in Connecticut, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Wonderful paragraph. I wanted to share my experience on it. I remember, I went in labor and I was on the way to the hospital. I was making 12-step calls. There is probably going to be a debate whether, do we trust God? How do we take this approach? And I just want to say, you know, for me, there was a period of adjustment. I didn't know the difference between the relationship with God and relationship with you guys. For me, you know, you guys were God with skin on. And my first 2 years, as I was learning how to have a relationship with God, I first learned to have a relationship with people. And, you know, yeah, family or no family, husband or no husband. And for me, that was true. That was an adjustment period for my family also. I didn't know whether my family is going to even stay together, whether my family is going to survive this period of reconstruction of my recovery from alcoholism. And I'm very grateful for that period. It was, you know, in AA, there is a tradition or a suggestion, I would rather say, that, you know, the first year we do not create any new relationships. We don't go on a date or, you know, and it's probably an unspoken rule. But I think it's a very important thing to put program work ahead of anything the first few years. You know, is it like that today? Today I have a full life. I have a family. I have 2 young children. My mother lives with me. Life is lifey. And if I don't put this program, recovery and relationship with God, on my priority list, I don't think I would, you know, have family today, because my relapse into alcoholic thinking is a very quick thing. You know, I might not pick up the food, I might not pick up the booze, but I can definitely pick up my alcoholic thinking and my alcoholic behaviors. Yeah, just, you know, throwing out there my experience, and yeah, very, very grateful that I know what relationship with God looks like today, and I don't have to depend on other people, but do I sometimes do? Yes, because I'm a very human being, and thank you very much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nani D from Connecticut. Christine G, you're up next, followed by Joanne B. Go ahead, Christine.
Good morning. This is Christine G. in Connecticut, recovered compulsive overeater. So touched by the shares today. Felt called to share as well. You know, when I came back into program, my relationships within my family of origin were disastrous. The family has just been slowly deteriorating, and as a result of my trying to fix and control and stop that from happening over the prior 2 years, I, you know, was deep in the food. And, you know, as much as I said I was attempting to connect with God, I wasn't. I was making my family my God and making the circumstances around important, and because I wanted my will be done. And now today, my relationships, you know, been able to stop trying to fix, control, manage, mother, all of that. I've been able to repair my side of this tree, and my relationships are in a better place. Not everybody else's, but And God is first, and I feel so content with what is. I don't have to change it. My feelings may feel, you know, as many have said, I might feel sad about certain things, but I'm able to accept it and trust that everybody has their own journey, and it's not for me to determine what that looks like and how people manage their feelings. All I can do is with God's help, manage my own. So my recovery, thank God, is not dependent on other people. It's, you know, my peace, my serenity is, you know, contingent upon me doing this program every day. And I finally get why everybody says, you know, that we're a family, because I truly feel like this is a sort of family for me. Like, you are who I come to. And of course, you know, God first, but God provides for me no matter what. And I pray to only be able to live up to paying that forward. And with that, I pass. Have a beautiful day.
All right. Thank you, Christine G. from Connecticut. Joanne B., you are up next, followed by Sarah T. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning. This is Joanne B., a recovered compulsive overeater in Vermont. It's been a long time since I've shared on this line, but I've been here listening all these months. And, you know, this meeting has really helped me quite a bit, listening to everybody and getting inspired by all the different stories, including today. For me, I've had a rough 6 to 8 months mentally, and, you know, my son went through, has mental illness and was going through a really, really dark time, and I kind of went down with him. But throughout this experience with him, and he's doing much better, by the way, I turned to God. Like, every morning, without fail, I would get up, I'd do my prayer meditation. That's the one thing that I could really stick by. I write to God, I say thank you, and for everything. And, you know, I've had to seek outside help from people, and that's okay. But in all of it, I've really tried to maintain my relationship with my higher power. And lo and behold, you know, every dark night, there's some expression I'm trying to think of, but we've just had almost 2 weeks of rain up here. And the sun is shining today. And that's the lessons that I'm learning, is that things may be dark, things may be really hard, but at some point things get better. And I have to rely on God and know that that things will get better, because they always do. Anyway, I just wanted to share today, because it's been a while since I've shared. And thanks everybody for being here, and I wish you a beautiful day, Memorial Day.
Well, thank you, Joanne B. from Vermont. Sarah T., you're up next, followed by Dorita P. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Sarah T. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm really, really grateful to be here. Thanks, everybody, for your service. You know, the shares today have just really hit me, and I really relate to the prospect the alcoholic, the recovered person is talking to and saying, hey, you all have reminded me that my recovery does not depend on other people. And I'm so grateful for that. That's what really struck me in this reading. And, you know, I've been coming to this meeting for, I don't know, a month or so now, and I've just been, you know, so my story in recent months and honestly recent years is that I had a great support group within my local OA community. And one by one, they've all, including my sponsor, have made different choices of thinking that other things were going to work better for them. And, you know, I've learned in these rooms that, okay, you know, I don't know everything. And, you know, I'm always referring back to acceptance is the answer, and just, you know, I don't know what's right for me or you or anybody else. But it really devastated me. And my recovery and my commitment to my program definitely has wavered. And I was sharing with another fellow yesterday, like, every, like, spiritual awakening I've had in recovery, every time God has done something really miraculous, it looked like a disaster on the front end, you know, and in that moment, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, what's happening? And it always has been this miraculous gift, and this is no exception. And just, you know, those folks choices and my feeling of abandonment and shakiness really inspired me to widen my circle in my recovery. And I ended up here and I ended up with a new sponsor. And, you know, it has turned out to be the most beautiful gift. And my recovery is so much stronger. And I, my abstinence is so much easier. And I feel the nearness of my creator so much more. And I really feel this now, that my recovery is not dependent on people. It's dependent on my relationship with my higher power. And I can say that and mean that at another level. And to me, that is so miraculous. And I don't know. I just kind of wanted to come in and claim my seat today and say thank you to all of you who share on this line every morning. I'm learning so much from you. And the last thing I'll share is I've gotten this opportunity, this kind of, in another way, I've gotten an opportunity with my job to go to a conference out of the country. And I was so excited about this. And then I realized that a colleague that I am working on a resentment toward. Thank you. I'll just wrap up by saying I don't have to make my decision of taking this opportunity based on her either. And I'll wrap up. So thank you all so much for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sarah T. from Kentucky. Dorita P., you are up next, and then we'll get a couple more names. Go ahead, Dorita.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Dorita Pippin, and I'm a recovered, I'm a compulsive overeater. I wouldn't really say recovered at this point, but I'm working toward that. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful. I have a seat here, and I'm going to just reread this paragraph so that it can sink in for me. Bottom of 99, it says, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. Excuse me. Since an adult, of course, I have not had an immediate family, meaning I've never been married. I'll be 55 in a few months, but I've never been married and I don't have any children. But family still, you know, family, you know, still, of course, everybody has a family or we wouldn't be here. But anyway, I'm just really, really grateful for this program because in dealing with family and dealing with friends and dealing with mates, you know, I have to put my program first. I mean, this world itself has so many distractions. And so people is the number one because people are involved in everything. So people, you know, is the number one distraction if I allow them to be. But I like this. I have to remember that my recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon my relationship with God. And like I said, I'm really grateful for this program because without Overeaters Anonymous, put it like this. I found my recovery here. I don't know what would have come. You know, but what I do know is that Overeaters Anonymous was my last stop. I think I've tried just about everything else or some kind of combination of everything else. So I'm just really grateful, and I'm glad that everybody is here so that we can have a meeting. I love you all. Have a good day. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Dorita P. And before you get off, could you please tell us where you're calling from, please?
I'm from Ohio.
Thank you, Dorita P. from Ohio. All right,
okay.
We've got room for two more. Who else would like to share?
Liz S. from Oregon.
Diane N. from Georgia.
Okay. And that was Diane. What was your last initial? Diane? Well, we have Liz S. and Diane. Liz S., you're up next. And please remember to include your initial, your last name, and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz S. S is in Sam from Portland, Oregon. A grateful, recovered compulsive eater. You can't open a flower with a hammer. You just can't. It doesn't work. You get a squished flower. And you can't force relationships between people to happen. You can't. You can't rush things. And it's the hardest thing for my addict brain, which kind of goes bananas when it thinks that I can't do anything. I have total knee replacement surgery due a week from today, but I may or may not be able to have the surgery. And it depends on insurance matters. It's totally out of my control. I have to rely on God. I have to rely on my higher power. I have to say, I can't make this better. It's a long weekend. It's Memorial Day. I'm not going to be making phone calls today to insurance companies because they're closed. And even if I did, I might muck it up. So, you know, I can't open a flower with a hammer. I have to let it happen. Let it happen on God's time. Let it happen according to God's will. That is the friggin' hardest thing in the world for me to do, because I want to fix it. Fix it, fix it, fix it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Liz S. from Oregon. And Diane, I didn't get the first initial of your last name. Are you ready?
Sure. My name is Diane N., and I'm from Metro Atlanta, Georgia. Last initial is N. Thank you, guys, for your service today. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I am so glad to be able to get in on this today, on this meeting today. I had Skype previously, and, you know, we no longer have Skype. So I haven't been able to, I had to find another way of getting into the meetings. But today I'm on the meeting, and that's what's so vital and so important for me. I was just looking at this. I've been in the rooms. I've been in recovery for about 5 years, but I've been in the rooms since 1980. I'm a relapse survivor. And so I've tried all different types of ways of doing, working this program my way, with the, using the family, using, you know, everything except wanting to depend on God. And that's what this tells me every time I have it highlighted in different colors. And it says, you know, we know we've already talked about wife or no wife, but and even in this part, it talks about if the family is together or not. Sometimes the family is never get together, even though I've been married for 37 years. And my husband, when I met him, I was already in the rooms, and we've been on this journey together, and he stayed with me. He used to say, okay, you know, I'm so tired of all these meetings, but then he's seen the way what happens to me when I'm not in these, when I'm not working my program, because I've stayed in the rooms all these years. I had nowhere else to go. So now he says, hey, don't you have a meeting when we used to do face-to-face? Don't you have a meeting today? Isn't this your meeting day? When he comes in, if I'm in a meeting, he knows what that means. I'll say, I'm in a meeting. No more complaints from him. Years ago, we used to have this argument about what's more important, God or what should come first, God or family or you know, they would wanted to know what comes first. Or the program, for me, it has always, it is my higher power today. My higher power is the most important thing because in order to, he directs me and lets me know you got to work these steps. And in working the steps, you got to pray throughout the day. I got to pray about this selfishness, self-centeredness, and resentments. I have to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. For me, that is the most important. For me, that's the most important thing. And so I know I got to work the steps. And I am so grateful that you guys are here. I'm so grateful to be able to be in these rooms today. I'm in my, I don't want to tell my age, but I have a birthday recently, and just let me say I've been here a number of decades. But God has opened up so many doors for me, and it is so awesome being in recovery. It's so different from being abstinent because in recovery I have food. I don't have to worry about the food. I don't have, because this is if my higher power is just taking me, taking me through life. In order for
Gentle
me
reminder.
Thank you so much. In order for me to, I'll wrap up. In order to stay sober and in recovery today, I have to trust God and just let him let him direct my path. Thank you all for letting me share. Thank you so much for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Diane N. from Georgia. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, May 26, 2025, is 22,465. That's 22,465. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ashley F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Rick. Ashley F. in Kentucky, recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.